Next on Gospel of Life, we'll talk to some people who want to devote their lives to defending some very special people. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. Several years after I began serving as a priest, I realized that I wanted to devote myself full-time to the defense of the unborn child, full-time to bringing an end to the tragedy of abortion in our land. And since then, in traveling around the country, I have met many people who feel the same call. And that has led us to establish a special community called the Missionaries of the Gospel of Life. In today's program, we're going to talk to some of those young men who are also feeling that call and joining this community. And together with us in this segment is David Clark. He's from Baltimore, and he has joined our community to serve as a lay missionary of the Gospel of Life. David, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Father.
And I'm so glad that you're part of this whole effort to get the training, to enter into the fellowship with so many other people around the country. Tell us first how you first got involved in the abortion issue itself.
Well, it all started actually back in 2003 when I had actually was interning in Washington, D.C. under a production company that specialized in doing a lot of PSAs for the government and other areas of issues and all. And one of the biggest themes that they did was breast cancer.
Okay.
So the woman who actually had ran the company, she was very helpful in guiding me with working and understanding the industry itself. But she had been a member of the notorious Emily's List.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which works to elect pro-choice women to to Congress.
Yes. And at that time, I wasn't really neither issue. I was just neutral. I was just accepting the internship when I got it. And I was just like, well, okay, I'll just take it and see where it's going to lead me and might lead to other possibilities. And in a sense, it did. After getting to know much more about how this place operated and, you know, her views and all, and I was just starting to get to a point where I was from being neutral to being kind of turned off by some of, like, you know, what she was saying. Of course, she never really talked much about abortion, but it was just, you know, you could see that the theme of it was there.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
The theme of it just really, you know, turned me off from just thinking, well, I mean, this is, you know, sort of make me very uncomfortable and all, but at that point, it stuck in my head it planted like a seed in my heart there. And it wasn't until a few months later that I actually had a job interview with a group, the Family Research Council.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, as a research assistant. I didn't get the position, but I was invited for the interview and all. What had happened was he had given me the interview and asked me questions regarding, if I had a bioethics degree or anything like that. I was like, no. And then he asked me one question that just really hit me. It's like, are you pro-life?
Mm.
And I was, well, yeah. And
yeah.
It was a bit hesitant at the time because I was not not sure then of the issue. But I had just taken the interview. Of course, when I researched about the Family Research Council, I had seen that it was pro-life, it was pro-family. But I was just looking at it more as a job. But it was just those words. It just hit me, and I could just feel that echo or hear that echo.
Yes.
And vibration through as if God touched me right there.
Well, it's a long road from there, from that experience you just described, to the point where you are now of saying, you know what, I think I want to devote my entire life and energy and efforts to bringing an end to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that... How does a person come to that kind of a decision as far as your own experience is concerned?
Well, you have to recognize that there's going to be some sacrifices. I've recognized that more and more. There may be some loss of friendships.
Have you experienced some of that?
A little bit.
People turned away from you because of that?
Yeah. I mean, not like nobody came up to my face saying, I'm never going to be your friend again, but they just slowly distanced themselves away from you.
Yeah.
Family members. There are some family members that are kind of, you know, a little bit iffy on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still in that phase where they don't want to offend anybody and all.
Mm-hmm.
But I started thinking, you know, that, well, I mean, you got to do something, I mean, to get active. I mean, either you're with them or not with them.
Right. In other words, if you try to please everybody, you never get anything done.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's like you've always said, like, you don't have to be successful to be liked, or...
Right. You don't have to be liked to be successful. Well, yeah. Exactly. That's right. You know, the missionaries of the Gospel of Life, as you know, in particular, works all around the country, all around the world. What have been some of your most inspiring or some of your favorite experiences so far? Some of the people we've met along the way, some of the things we've done. What do you like most about the ministry?
What I like about the ministry is just meeting the different people that are out there, getting to know the different ministries that are out there from other, like, chapters of the pro-life movement, from meeting such people like Father Stephen Imbarato, to Father Tom Eitenauer,
mm-hmm.
to even getting to know, like, Dr. Alvia King and all. It's just been an experience.
It's an amazing array of personalities and commitments.
I mean, everybody has different gifts and all, yeah, to apply to the movement.
Yes. Do you what do you look forward most to do as you continue in this track of your vocation? What do you most look forward to for the future?
I'd say inspiration. I mean, inspiring others to get motivated, especially those who I've known all my life, and I mean, it might change their perspective of things.
Yes.
I'm praying for those people as well, too, on a regular basis, that something may make them turn around and think, wow, you know. And I think I'm starting to see it more and more, especially in some of my friends who are non-believers. And, I mean, they're asking me a lot of questions about stuff. I mean, of course, they're probably one of those who are still clinging on to me as one of their friends, so.
Yes. Well, we're glad that you're following this path. We look forward to the ministry together with you, and I'm sure our listeners and viewers will hear more from you as the months and years go on. So, I'm sure they'll be praying for you as well.
Thanks, Father.
God bless you, David. And friends, we'll be back to talk with two others who are also hearing and answering the call to be missionaries of the Gospel of Life. Please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome back to our program. We're talking today about hearing and responding to the call to full-time involvement in the pro-life effort. And now I want to welcome two guests who are not only experiencing call to full-time pro-life work, but also want to do that in the context of the ministry of the priesthood, the ministry of the gospel. We welcome Stephen and Patrick. Stephen Jendreski is from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yep.
And Patrick from Tucson, Arizona.
That's right, Father.
So now both of you have joined up with the missionaries of the Gospel of Life. Tell us just in a nutshell why you did that.
Well, I have been pro-life my entire life. My parents raised me that way. We have always been involved since childhood. Since my childhood, my parents have kept me involved with the pro-life movement locally, mm-hmm, from Tucson. And I have decided to also pursue the priesthood and continue on with pro-life work.
Mm-hmm. And Stephen, what has led you to this particular point?
Well, shortly after I had been laid off from work, I took a little sabbatical, a few months, and it turned into about 6 years. I had gone to the clinic to pray a rosary, mm-hmm, and had saw some images, and it really had an effect on me.
Images of abortion?
Yes, yeah. And so for 5 or 6 years, I've been doing pro-life work full time. And during that part of my discernment, I had also gone through a conversion back to my faith at that time also. Mm-hmm. So during that time of doing the pro-life work full time, I kept feeling like I should be looking into the priesthood.
And what has been the reaction of people that know you or who maybe don't know you that well, but know that you are doing this? Has been favorable or unfavorable? What has been your experience so far?
It's been very favorable with my family and friends. Everybody's been very encouraging, mm-hmm. and I have lots of people praying for me, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been very, very favorable to me, too, from my family, friends. Very encouraging. So
far with the Missionaries of the Gospel of Life, we've had you travel to different parts of the country, get an exposure to different aspects of the pro-life movement. And this work, of course, is meant to encourage everyone to take their part in the pro-life movement, which, of course, has many different varieties of activity comprising it. What are some of the areas of pro-life activity that you feel especially called to?
I feel a special calling towards working with the youth, people of my own age, people who have, who are survivors of the abortion Holocaust. I definitely feel a special connection with them because we're all in the same boat. We were all for 9 months told that, or without us knowing, we were in danger of being killed. So I have taken a personal offense to that, and I feel a special connection with everybody else who's been through that same thing.
Yeah, that's a key theme that we've talked about on this program, and it's very, very important for youth ministers, clergy, to understand survivor syndrome, a very, very personal dimension for a whole new generation of pro-life activists. And Steve, how about you?
Well, I feel very called to be at the clinic, to where they're, you know, at the place where they're doing the killing. Mm-hmm. And I also feel called to displaying the graphic photos in public where people can see them.
It works when you do that. You see that it works.
Yeah, we've had many people turn around because of the pictures and had some conversions that way.
Well, tell me some of your most memorable moments out there praying in front of the abortion facilities.
I think the most memorable one for me was when I was standing out there by myself with a picture, and I was asking God why, you know, am I doing any good here? And a few minutes later, I heard a plane flying overhead, and I looked up, and the plane said, "Trust Jesus," on the wings. And shortly after that, a woman walked by with a child, and she looked at the picture, and she shook her head, and I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Well, it's the picture. It's hard to look at." She said, "But I understand." She said, "I was heading into the clinic to have an abortion a couple years before and had seen that picture just like that and had turned around."
And turned around.
Yeah, and the girl she had with her was the girl that she would have aborted.
So God answered your question pretty strongly that particular day.
Yes, he did.
Wow. What are some of the things that you would say to other people who are trying to figure out how involved they should be in the pro-life movement? Because I've always been convinced there are many people who are called to do what you're doing, to devote themselves full time to this what has been called, and what to common sense is, the most urgent moral crisis we have in our world, the killing of all these children by abortion. What would you say to people to help them figure out whether this is their calling as well?
I would definitely ask them to pray and see if that's what their vocation is, because I believe that everyone has a certain vocation in life, either being a doctor, whatever their vocation is, could be a job, or it could be pro-life work, which is what I feel is my vocation, to work full-time in the pro-life movement.
You did a reflection on the Golden Rule, mm-hmm. Really hit home for me. And that was, you know, what do you expect your brother to do for you? Or what would you do for your brother in the same situation? What would you want your brother to do for you?
Right.
And if we were being put to death unjustly, we would want somebody to come out and stand on our behalf.
Even to the point of giving themselves full time to rescuing us.
Yes. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Sure. It wouldn't be very hard for us at all to imagine that would be the right thing for them to do. So Finally, you know, of course, I'm a priest, and we have many priests that work with us, and some of them are given the privilege of doing this pro-life ministry on a full-time basis, as I do. What are some of the connections you see between the ministry of the gospel, serving the gospel as a pastor, as a priest, and the work we do on behalf of saving the unborn? What are the relationship between those two aspects of your calling?
I think they're very interconnected because we are speaking of the gospel of life. We are preaching the gospel of life, which is what Jesus taught, and that's what priests do, and that's what the pro-life movement does. So they work hand in hand by far the best.
In fact, in other words, it's just one gospel. It's not like there's a gospel over here about pro-life stuff and another gospel of Jesus and salvation.
Exactly.
It's all one and the same gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think they can, you know, we can turn our backs on killing and claim that we're preaching the gospel of life, you know.
Of course, St. Paul also tells us that God has entrusted to us a ministry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ, of course, reconciling the human family back to God. How does the reconciliation aspect of our ministry tie in with the pro-life aspect?
With women and men and women who have had abortions, they feel the guilt and they feel bad for what they've done and for the sins that they've committed. I think it's very, very strong connection that they have together.
Yeah, we have to know how to reach out to the men and women who have been involved with abortion, and when obviously very wounded. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be coming into the confessional, and we need to know how to answer, you know, how to give them help and mm-hmm. guidance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What direction to point them in.
Right. You know, we just have a short time left, but I wanted to go back to one point with you, Steve, and that is in praying in front of the abortion facilities. What do you say to people who say to you, oh, well, you're just out there to harass these women?
Well, we're not. I mean, obviously, we were out there to help them. If we were out there to harass them, I could think of a lot better ways to harass people. Yeah, I tell them, you know, just because some people are upset by us being out there doesn't mean, you know, that we're out there to hurt them.
Right.
People are going to be upset because we're, you know, we're upsetting their conscience. They realize in the back of their mind, I think, that they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And we're there to, you know, just offer help a lot of times. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you both for what you're doing, the pro-life work you've done in the past, and we certainly look forward to working with you in the months and years to come as we grow together in this ministry. So God bless you both.
All right. Thank you, Father.
Well, friends, you've heard today three examples of people who feel the call to do full-time pro-life work. What about you? I'm sure there are many watching right now who have that call and perhaps have not yet discerned it fully. I want you to know that we are all praying for you, and perhaps what we're going to see now will assist us all in coming to a deeper understanding of our pro-life call. We're going to have our action segment. We're going to have even more ideas of what you can do. And then at the end of this show, you'll see those graphic images yet again. Let's all work and commit ourselves to build a culture of life. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome, my friends, to our action segment. Today we want to give you another update on the Silent No More Awareness campaign because there's critical things you can do to assist this effort. Janet, give us an update.
Well, of course, just quickly for those who don't know, the Silent No More Awareness campaign is taking men and women who've experienced abortion, regret their abortion, have gone through healing, and now want to speak out in a bolder way to reach out to those who are still locked in silence, who think that abortion is an unforgivable sin. They want to reach girls who are considering an abortion to say stop, or don't go down this road. And finally, they want to help convert the people that somehow think that we need to keep abortion legal because women need to have abortions. So that's the overall quick goals of the campaign. Now, we know we have a lot of products that our friends at Heritage House help us distribute. They're still available. We have the mugs, the T-shirts. We have the bumpers, the buttons that say women do regret abortion, great bumper stickers, bookmarks. But now, in addition to our brochure about the campaign, you know, which overviews what I just said, we have a brand new brochure out called What's So Bad About Abortion? And we have to thank our folks on the other side of the fence, actually, because they had a conference recently where they had a panel, and we tried to go to the panel because they claimed to have, let's have a discussion about this issue.
Yeah, meanwhile, they only invited the pro-aborts.
They only invited the pro-aborts, and the name of the panel was What's So Bad About Abortion? Mm-hmm. So Georgette, my other co-founder, and I said, well, you know what? We had this thing in the works where we were laying out the 10 reasons why, you know, abortion's bad for women, and we were toying with what should the title be. We said, well, they've given us the title, What's So Bad About Abortion? ? We have this brochure available, and we would like our viewers to think of all the different places you can help distribute that brochure, because just the title will pique people's curiosity.
Yes.
You can put that brochure maybe in your church, you know, if you have a literature rack of some sort, put it there. Maybe you have a youth group, put it there. If you have, you know, pro-life doctors wouldn't mind keeping that in their waiting room. What's so bad about abortion with that question mark? People are going to say, pick that up out of curiosity and say, what's that? And inside this brochure, we have 10 of the reasons why abortion is so damaging to women.
You know, the campaign itself is a marvelous way for people always to help, because by spreading the word about silentnomoreawareness.org and the fact that people who have had abortions can sign up there on that website to say, yes, I regret mine, we add to the numbers. The numbers grow larger and larger of this vast army of people who are giving witness that the other side is wrong when they say that abortion is a solution to a problem. They're wrong. We need more and more of those that are out there, because there are many of them who've had abortions, who want to speak up. They want to lend their voice to this effort. We need all of our viewers to spread the word in their newsletters, letters to the editor, blogs, internet, in any way they can, or among their pro-life groups, friends, relatives, people they know that have had abortions. Let them connect people with the campaign.
That's right. And then finally, we would ask people if they'd like to be a regional coordinator. If you'd like to have men or women come to your community, stand up and talk about the abortion experience that they regret, please contact the campaign. We need people to help organize getting these voices out in more ways in their community.
Thanks, Janet. And friends, we also want to let you know about the will to live. This has to do with the other end of the spectrum when you have end-of-life decisions that have to be made. Don't use a living will. Use the will to live. It gives you more protection. It allows you to appoint somebody who can speak for you to make medical decisions if you cannot speak for yourself. And it's based on pro-life principles. These documents are crafted for each of the 50 states according to local state law. And you can find more information at gospeloflife.com. And now, as always, we want to conclude our program by sharing with you again a visual reminder of why we do what we do. We said earlier in this action segment, what's so bad about abortion? Well, the images you're about to see answer that question. What's so bad about it? It's the biggest form of violence in our midst. And I invite you now, as you watch these images, to mourn with us. Have a broken heart over this issue so that we can all together bring an end to abortion.
Until people saw images of children in coal mines, did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture, did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion, unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help. There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.